الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إخوان، indeed the affair of the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and that which Allah عز وجل has blessed this Ummah with, at the head of the blessings and the ni'am that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon us, is that which Allah Azza wa Jal has given us from ulama. Ulama ajilla, a'imma jahabida, the likes of which the umam, the previous umam, ikhwan, did not know. Na'am, Bani Israel and the previous nations, they were blessed and they were given prophets and messengers, and they were given likewise men of righteousness and uprightness. And they were blessed with people of knowledge. But as far as that which Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed this ummah with, from ulama, yani the a'imma of Ahl Sunnah, the a'imma that we have seen from the earliest times, and from the earliest part of this ummah, from the Sahaba Ridwan Allah alayhim, up until our time now, we continue, bihamdillah, to have examples of ulama that are Rabbaniyun. It is indeed, ikhwan, from the affairs that Allah has blessed this ummah with specifically. The previous umam, Allah Azza wa Jal, has informed us of the fact that their people of knowledge, that though they had individuals who from among them were righteous and salih and upright and mukhlis, many of them, ikhwan, were corrupt. Allah Azza wa Jal describes a number of them as سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ سَمَّعُونَ لِقَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ لَمْ يَأْتُوكَ. Allah Azza wa Jal describes them as individuals who are oft or eager to listen to كَذِب, and that is from the people of knowledge among them, eager to listen to كَذِب and lies and falsehood. Allah Azza wa Jal described some of them as أَكَّالُونَ لِلْصُحْبِ, individuals who misappropriate the wealth of people, and those who do not deal sincerely and with ikhlas, with the umur and with the affairs of those who are under their jurisdiction. And that was something that was well known among Bani Israel. From them were clear walimun. And thus Allah Azza wa Jal, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, after Allah informed him, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that indeed I'm going to make you an imam. And he said, and what of my offspring? He said, indeed my covenant will not encompass the ظالمين, which implicitly indicates that from the offsprings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would be those who would be ظالمين. And that was something that occurred. Allah Azza wa Jal, though he blessed them with books, he blessed them with anbiya, he blessed them with kings. وَجَعْلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وآتاكم ما لم يؤتي أحدا من العالمين. He made you from among you kings, and he gave you that which he did not give to many of the previous nations. So Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed this nation, this ummah, and described it, ikhwan, as an ummah that he has blessed because of the fact that they enjoin the good and forbid the evil, and they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the head of those who do so, the a'imma of Ahlus Sunnah. And from those a'imma, ikhwan, we have a beautiful example of an alim jaleel. A'alim that al-imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he describes him, he gives him honorific titles. He mentions, ikhwan, in Sir A'lam al-Nubala, that huwa al-imam haqqan. He is the imam in truth. He is the imam in truth. Know that when it is said, إِذَا أُطْلِقَ إِمَامُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, when that term is used absolutely, then it falls, ikhwan, without doubt, upon al-imam Ahmad. Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentions, rahimahullah, huwa al-imam haqqan, shaykh al-islam sidqan, Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal ibn Hilal ibn Asad ibn Idris ibn Abdullah ibn Hayyan ibn Abdullah ibn Anas ibn Auf ibn Qasit ibn Mazin ibn Shayban ibn Dhuhl ibn Tha'laba ibn Ukaba ibn Sa'ab ibn Ali ibn Bakr ibn Wa'il al-Dhuhli al-Shaybani al-Marwazi ثم البغدادي أهد أئمة الأعلام هكذا ساق نسبه عبد الله واعتمده أبو بكر الخطيب في التاريخ. He mentions his lineage going back to his father, or his one of his great grandfathers, Bakr ibn Wa'il al-Dhuhli. As far as the lineage though that was mentioned by his son Salih. Salih, the son of Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, وَجَدْتُ فِي كِتَابِ أَبِي نَسَبَهُ فَسَاقَهُ إِلَى مَازِنْ كَمَا مَرْ ثُمَّ قَالْ إِبْنِ هُذَيْلِ إِبْنِ شَيْبَانِ إِبْنِ ثَعْلَبَ إِبْنِ عُكَابَ كَذَا قَالْ هُذَيْلِ وَهُوَ وَهَمْ وَزَادَ بَعْدَ وَائِلِ إِبْنِ قَاسِتْ إِبْنِ هِنَبْ إِبْنِ أَقْسَى أَفْسَى إِبْنِ دعمي ابن جذيل أو جذيلة ابن أسد ابن الربيعة ابن نزار ابن معد ابن عدنان ابن الأدد ابن هميسع ابن نبت ابن قيذار ابن إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم. So the lineage no doubt of Imam Ahmad is يعني عربي Asil, returning back to Ismail, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And so this great Imam, ikhwan, the discussion of his life and taking benefits from his life, no doubt, since he is the Imam of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, it is of benefit for us to study and look into why he was considered the Imam of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. In this session though, as we mentioned, we consider this a muqaddimah, or an introduction to some of the benefits from the life of Al-Imam Ahmad, and that which is related to Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala. Before then, we mention his life, his shuyukh, his teachers, his rihla fi talab al-ilm, the mihna, and what have you. We'll discuss, ikhwan, one of the statements, a statement that has been mentioned concerning him by Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Al-Shafi'i, he made a statement concerning him. Incidentally, it is said concerning Imam Al-Shafi'i that he is from the shuyukh of Al-Imam Ahmad, and Ahmad is from his shuyukh. And we'll see examples of how that manifested, that Imam Al-Shafi'i was considered greater in terms of fiqh, while Imam Ahmad, no doubt, was a'lam bil hadith. Though Imam Ahmad, he was a faqih. And that is, ikhwan, something that is without doubt established for Imam Ahmad. And oftentimes you're reading some of the books, ikhwan, of fiqh and some of the books of furu' that Imam Ahmad was not considered when we look at the books that are known as the books of fiqh al-muqaran. Fiqh al-muqaran are those books that discuss the aqwal of the ulama, the aqwal of the a'imma, and compare them. And so instead of gathering the ahadith and then discussing that which is benefited and taken from it, the books of fiqh al-muqaran, they gather the aqwal of the ulama, Imam Ahmad, Malik, Shafi'i, and so on. They gather them together and then discuss what their evidence was for each position that they took and how they differed in those issues. One of the books that are yani, well-known and popular, a book that we studied, ikhwan, is Tulab Ilm al-Medina, a book known as Bidayatul Mujtahid of Ibn Rushd. Bidayatul Mujtahid, Ibn Rushd, he was Maliki in Madhab, and Bidayatul Mujtahid, he gathers within it the aqwal of the ulama, he discusses them side by side. But he left out, from his book, he left the aqwal of Al-Imam Ahmad. And that, ikhwan, is from the affairs that Ahlul Ilm yu'ib ala kitabi. That his book is, from that angle, it receives something from criticism. That he should have mentioned the aqwal of Imam Ahmad, no doubt. Since fiqh is قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة ليس بالتمويه. That is fiqh. And who then is better and greater in fiqh than the one who is most well established in the knowledge of the book and the sunnah and the aqwal of the salaf? And Imam Ahmad, ikhwan, is from the greatest of the a'imma in that regard. And so how is it that his statements are left out of a book that discuss the understandings and the fiqh of the a'imma of Islam? Yani shay ajib. And so that is from the things that are criticized concerning certain books of fiqh when they leave the aqwal of Imam Ahmad. For Imam Ahmad, ikhwan, was an imam mujtahid in the furu' al-fiqhiyya, without doubt. Concerning Imam Ahmad then, we have the statement of al-Imam al-Shafi'i concerning him. Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, as al-Rabi' ibn Sulaiman, he mentioned, one of the students of Imam al-Shafi'i, Rabi' ibn Sulaiman, he said, qala lana al-Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i, he said to us, Ahmad imamun fi thamani khisal. He said, Imam Ahmad was an imam in 8 characteristics. 8 characteristics. He mentioned imamun fil hadith, imamun fil fiqh, imamun fil lugha, imamun fil Quran, imamun fil faqr, imamun في الزهد، إمام في الورع، إمام في السنة. In these 8 characteristics, Imam al-Shafi'i said he was an imam in all of them. As far as him being an imam in these 8 things then, and they are, for those who didn't catch them, hadith, an imam in hadith, an imam in fiqh, an imam in the language, in the lughah, an imam in the Quran, an imam in faqr, yani poverty, an imam in zuhud, abstaining from the dunya, an imam in wara', and that is a piety wherein one stays away and refrains from those things that may be halal and permissible, fearing that one may fall into haram, and that he was an imam in the sunnah. And the intent here is an imam in the establishment of the sunnah, and the affairs of the methodology and the manhaj, and establishing the aqidah al-islamiyya al-salafiyya sahiha, and warning and taking a strong stance against ahlul bid'ati wa dalala. He was an imam in all of these 8. Concerning the statement, this statement then of al-imam al-Shafi'i, from the best and from the greatest of those who have authored around Imam Ahmad and his students, and those who were well known to be proponents of his madhab, we have the Imam Ibn Abi Ya'la in Tabaqat al-Hanabila. Ibn Abi Ya'la in Tabaqat al-Hanabila, in the introductions of Tabaqat al-Hanabila, or the Tabaqat al-Hanabila, yani the levels of the Hanabila, and the scholars of the Hanbali Madhab, or those who attribute themselves to Imam Ahmad. Because it should be known that Salafis, Ikhwan, during the time of Imam Ahmad wa ma ba'd, were referred to as Hanbalis. Salafis were referred to as Hanbalis. This term Hanbali, it wasn't, Ikhwan, in the early period, it wasn't always a statement that referred to a person who took up the fiqh of Imam Ahmad. Rather, the term Hanbali was used then very much as the term, or was very similar to the way in which the term Wahhabi or Madkhali is used now. Yani a term, Ikhwan, that referred to, though it was oftentimes used in a derogatory way, to refer to people who were upon the Salafiyah of Imam Ahmad. And so they would say that such and such is Hanbali. A reference here, though, not to them just following the fiqh of Imam Ahmad, but a reference to them being Salafi. Just as now, if a person wants to dispraise and speak ill of the Salafiyun, they would say such and such is Madkhali. Though there is no issue with being Madkhali. If being Madkhali is the path and the methodology of the Salaf of this Ummah, then regardless of the name that you want to give to it, the Haqq is the Haqq. Our attribution is to that, no doubt, which returns back to the Nusus of the Kitab and the Sunnah. Ahlul Athar, Ahlul Hadith, As-Salafiyun, those narration or those statements and those titles, honorific titles, that were extrapolated and taken from the Nusus of the Kitab and the Sunnah. And so Ahlul Sunnah refer to themselves by way of those titles that have their origin in the text of the Kitab and the Sunnah. Salafiyun, Ahl al-Sunnah, Ahl al-Athar, and so on. In any case, Ikhwan, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he said then that Imam Ahmad is a Imam in all of these eight. Ibn Abi Ya'la then, he explains, Ikhwan, and makes mention in the beginnings of Tabaqat al-Hanabila, how Imam Ahmad was an Imam in all of those eight affairs. He mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, أَمَّا قَوْلُهُ إِمَامٌ فِي الْحَدِيثِ فَهَذَا مَا لَا خِلَافَ فِيهِ وَلَا نِزَاعَ. As for his statement that he was an Imam in Hadith, then this is something that there is no khilaf concerning. There is no difference and no dispute concerning the fact that Imam Ahmad was an Imam in Hadith. He said, حَصَلَ بِهِ الْوِفَاقِ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ والإجماع أكثر منه التصنيف والجمع والتأليف وله الجرح والتعديل والمعرفة والتعليل وبيان وتأويل. He said that indeed this is something that is established for Imam Ahmad, and there is consensus upon that. For indeed he was plentiful in authoring in its regard, and in regards to Hadith, he gathered, he authored. He established that which is related to jarh wa ta'deel, and having ma'rifah, yani of the sciences of hadith, knowledge of the sciences of hadith, and its hidden defects, clarifying the meanings of those ahadith and interpreting them. And so, Ikhwan, he was referred to and known as the Imam, or an Imam in the sciences of hadith. Concerning that affair then, we have the statement of Abu Ubaid al-Qasim bin Salam, who mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, انتهى العلم إلى أربعة. He said, ilm ends at four. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ali ibn al-Madini, Yahya bin Ma'in, wa Abi Bakr ibn Abi Shayba. Ilm, and those no doubt, Ikhwan, from the most prolific of the A'imma of Hadith. Ilm ends with these four. He mentions, وَكَانَ أَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلْ أَفْقَهُهُمْ فِيهِ. He said, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was the one that understood the most from all of them, from among all those four great Imams of Hadith. he was the best in understanding from among them. Ibn Abi Ya'la, he mentioned, وَدَخَلَ الشَّافِعِ يَوْمًا عَلَىٰ أَحْمَدُ بْنِ حَنْبَلْ فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ كُنْتُ الْيَوْمَ مَعَ أَهْلِ الْعِرَاقِ فِي مَسْأَلَةٍ أَوْ فِي مَسْأَلَةِ كَذَا فَلَوْ كَانَ مَعِي حَدِيثٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَدَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ أَحْمَدُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَحَادِيثٍ فَقَالَ لَهُ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. He said, on an occasion, Imam Shafi'i entered upon him, upon Imam Ahmad, and said, Ya Ahmad, he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, today I was with the people of Iraq, yani debating with them concerning a mas'ala, concerning an issue. I was debating with the people of Iraq. He said, if only I had a hadith, just one, from the Messenger of Allah concerning the issue, yani it would have nailed it. Just one hadith. So Imam Ahmad, when he made that request and he made that statement, Imam Ahmad, after hearing the issue, he narrated to him three hadith connected to the issue that Imam Shafi'i was debating concerning. And so Imam Shafi'i, he turned to him and he said, Jazakallahu khaira. Yani, afattani. And that no doubt was Imam Shafi'i, and his life again, ikhwan, is filled with kunuz and with benefit and with khair. And so Imam Shafi'i, ikhwani, recognized that indeed Imam Ahmad was the Imam in Hadith, and he would return back to him in regards to Hadith and taking Hadith from him. Ibn Abi Ya'la continues, وَهَذَا مِنْ دِينِ الشَّافِعِي حَيْثُ سَلَّمَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ لِأَهْلِهِ وقال عبد الوهاب الوراق ما رأيت مثل أحمد قالوا له وإيش الذي بان لك من علمه وفضله على سائر من رأيت قال رجل سئل عن 60,000 مسألة فأجاب فيها بأن قال أخبرنا وحدثنا. He said that on an occasion Ibn Abi Ya'la, he praised Imam Shafi'i for returning back to Imam Ahmad for hadith. He said, indeed, praiseworthy is the one that returns the affair of a knowledge back to its people. And then he said, for indeed, Al-Imam Abdul Wahhab Al-Warraq. He said, ما رأيت مثل أحمد. He said, I have not seen the likes of Imam Ahmad. And so it was said to him concerning that, إيش الذي بان لك. What is it that has become clear to you concerning Ahmad, that makes you say and claim that he is the best and he is the most virtuous, ala sa'iri man ra'ayt, the most virtuous over and above anyone that you've seen from Ahl al-Ilm, from the ulama? So he responded by saying, Rajulun su'ila an 60,000 mas'ala. He said, here was a man, or this is a man, naturally referring back to his knowledge of Imam Ahmad, a man who was asked about 60,000 issues. 60,000 mas'ala. 60,000 issues. فَأَجَابَ فِيهَا بِأَنْ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا وَحَدَّثَنَا. And he responded to each and every one of them by saying, أَخْبَرَنَا وَحَدَّثَنَا. إيش معنى؟ He responded to each and every one of them by saying, أخبرنا حدثنا. A man asked about Tawheed, he said, أخبرنا. A man asked about a mas'ala concerning Miraf, he said, أخبرنا حدثنا. وبس. إيش معنى؟ حدثنا يعني ساق الإسناد. That he made mention in his response, he made mention of the ahadith and the asanid going back to narrations returning back to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning those issues. And so it was not just that he was a person that spoke from ara and opinion and quoted the statements of other individuals or what have you. Rather, 60,000 issues, and each and every one of them, he began with his response by saying, حدثنا فلان, حدثنا فلان, أخبرنا فلان. It was narrated to me by such and such, mentions his chain of narration going back to the relevant hadith, and then he'll mention the hadith. And that, ikhwan, is shay azim. It is tremendous, ikhwan, that one would narrate. Bearing in mind, ikhwan, that in our time you'd be hard pushed to find somebody who would be asked 16,000 mas'ala, and he's able to respond with a text for each of those 60,000 issues, a text, much less the text with its isnad, much less the text with its isnad. Yani shay azim saraha, yani tremendous, ikhwan, and something that is yani in our time no doubt unheard of. And so, ikhwan, the imam and his being distinguished in knowledge among his peers, ikhwan, is something that is established. Abu Zur'ah al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned hazarna hifz Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And Abu Zur'ah jabal, from the jibal of ilm, from the jibal of hadith and ilal. Abu Zur'ah, he mentions hazarna hifz Ahmad ibn Hanbal bil mudhakara ala 700,000 hadith. He said that verily we have examined and we have observed the hifz of Imam Ahmad bil mudhakara. And this term mudhakara was a term that was used by the scholars of hadith, ikhwan, of the past, in which the scholars of hadith, tulab and mashaykh, they would sit as yani people of hadith, they would sit and they would revise a hadith. And so they would have their usul, what was known as their usul, which was the book, ikhwan, that each muhaddith had, or a number of books as the case may be, that was his main book of hadith. This book is the book that he has within it the ahadith that he has taken from the shuyukh over the many journeys that he has gone upon. Some of those usul, sometimes the alim, he may have an asl, a large asl concerning, or that gathers various ahadith. Sometimes his asl may have the ahadith of one shaykh. Sometimes his asl may be connected to the ahadith of the people of a particular place. But in any case, ikhwan, they would sit for these sittings of mudhakara, and these sittings wherein they would remind each other and revise ahadith. And so the tul, and it's something, ikhwan, that really we should revive. This affair of mudhakara til hadith. Yani, there is no problem with some of the brothers that we sit and that we read mathalan sahih al-Bukhari qira'atan bas, that we read sahih sunan abi daud, that we read the jami' of al-Imam al-Tirmidhi qira'ah, just sard al-hadith and read to familiarize ourselves with those ahadith. Not necessarily, ikhwan, that those sittings are sittings of tafaqquh and of increasing in knowledge in those ahadith, just acquaint ourselves with those nusus. And so that we have some days or period throughout the day, or yani a time within the day where we sit and we just recite. Or it may be, ikhwan, that one of the smaller books of hadith, Bulugh al-Maram, Riyadh al-Salihin, that one sits and that we sit and recite those ahadith bas. And it is something that we used to do in Ramadan, ikhwan. As students in Medina, we would sit with the likes of Sahih Jami' al-Saghir Naqra, yani alongside a Qira'ah of Quran, have a small session of Qira'ah al-Hadith Naqra. And that Qira'ah, as we mentioned, was not for the purpose, ikhwan, of studying and making hifz of it, or necessarily having tafaqquh in its meaning and increasing the knowledge of its meaning, but to familiarize ourselves with the nusus, to familiarize ourselves with those texts. And those sittings of mudhakara, ikhwan, you'll find that they will be sittings of hifz likewise, because there is something about those sittings, there is something about a sitting when people sit together, tulab ilm, for the purpose of benefiting each other, just with qira'ah, there is something about the barakah of the sitting, ikhwan, that one leaves with a different type of benefit in terms of being acquainted with the book and being acquainted with those nusus than had he opened the book himself and just read. And if you open the book oneself and just read, na'am, you'll benefit. But you'll find, ikhwan, that if you sit with another talib, someone who has love for acquainting himself with the kitab and the sunnah as you do, that you sit with another talib or a group of brothers, that we sit and we naqra, bas, read. Read. And here, ikhwan, this doesn't require that one of us is an alim, or that one of us is a strong talib ilm. Because of the fact that our sitting is for the purpose of acquainting ourselves with the text, wabas. When we're acquainted with the text and we have knowledge of them, then that which ashkala alayna, that which is unclear from the meaning, we return them back to Ahlul Ilm. But in terms of our being acquainted with the nusus, ikhwan, we should at least be familiar with ahadith. Nahnu ahl sunnah. We're not referred to as ahl sunnah, ikhwan, except that we're acquainted with the sunnah. Familiar with the sunnah. Familiar with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so these sittings of mudhakara, the scholars of hadith and the students of hadith of the past, they would sit and go over the ahadith that they have either memorized, or mathalan, that you had benefited some ahadith from one of your shuyukh, someone that we were unable to travel to or to meet. And so we have a sitting of mudhakara, and whoever is present, he tries to benefit as much as possible. And that brings to mind, ikhwan, that instance with Hushaym ibn Bashir. The story of Hushaym ibn Bashir. Hushaym ibn Bashir, an imam from the A'imma of Hadith, who is declared da'if concerning an imam, Az-Zuhri. Though he was thiqa in and of himself, he is da'if with Imam Az-Zuhri. And that was because on an occasion, he had spent or he traveled to visit Al-Imam Az-Zuhri, to take hadith from Imam Az-Zuhri. And sometimes their visitations, ikhwan, could be short, could be just a few days. But they were sufficient, it was sufficient time for them to pen down, yani to have some time with the Shaykh, some time with the Imam, that he narrates and he pens the hadith of that Imam down. Later on, he memorizes those ahadith and he's established that he took them from the Imam. Hushaym ibn Bashir, when he was returning, ikhwan, to his homeland, he came across some of the students of hadith and they questioned him, where are you coming from? And so on. He said, I've just come from Al-Imam Zuhri. Imam Zuhri, ikhwan, alayhi al-muntaha. Imam Zuhri was the one that was commissioned with gathering the sunnah, commissioned by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to gather the sunnah. Just as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and that which took place during the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidun with the collection and the compilation of the Quran, during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he initiated, ikhwan, this affair of gathering the sunnah likewise. That the scholars of hadith, they traveled to various regions, and so the Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he saw that it would be an important an affair in order to preserve the sunnah, that we begin gathering and collecting and preserving the sunnah. So he commissioned that Imam Az-Zuhri for the job, because he was the imam of that time. Imam Az-Zuhri, the imam of that time and that era. So Hushaym ibn Bashir went to visit Al-Imam Az-Zuhri. And so when he returned, he came across some of the students of hadith, and he mentioned, I've just come from Al-Imam Az-Zuhri. Coming across somebody who just come from an imam like that one, ikhwan, is not like our time. In our time, if somebody just come back from visiting Sheikh Rabi', and that was a benefit that he got, it was his personal benefit in many ways, other than the benefits that he shares with us from the Sheikh. But in those days, if you came across someone who just come from an imam, who just narrated a hadith with his asanid, if they narrate them to you, you take them from him, you become part of the chain of narration, going back to the Messenger of Allah. So it wasn't just an affair of, oh, mashallah, you met the Sheikh, how's the Sheikh? La. It was, give us those ahadith. Let us write them quick. We have some time, let's write. And so they demanded from him and requested from him, jib the scroll of Zuhri. There's one man between us and Zuhri, but we're still at least in the chain. Yani, we would narrate from Zuhri, from Hushaym ibn Bashir, but we're still in the chain. So jib the ahadith. So Imam Hushaym, he took his scroll of hadith out, A wind came and took the scroll and it left his hand and he was unable to regain the scroll. And so on the basis of that, Ikhwan, that sitting of Mudhakara that went wrong, on the basis of it, Imam Hushaym ibn Bashir, Dhu'ifa, is considered Dha'if if he narrates from Imam al-Zuhri, because he didn't have enough time to memorize those hadith. He penned them down, it was on the scroll, and he hadn't memorized them yet. Other than the few narrations that he could remember, everything else was gone. And so, the point is though, Ikhwan, those sittings of Mudhakara, those sittings of yani revision of ahadith and penning down ahadith was something that the scholars of hadith and the students of hadith, they were familiar with. And so Imam Abu Zur'a al-Razi, he said, Hazarna hifza Ahmad ibn Hanbal bil mudhakara ala 700,000 hadith. He said that indeed we were able to examined the hifz of Imam Ahmad by sittings of mudhakara. By sittings of mudhakara, where we heard from him 700,000 hadith from his hifz. 700,000 hadith. Ikhwan, is a task. And it is virtue enough that they heard those hadith, 700,000. Now, Ikhwan, Bulugh al-Maram, 1,500 hadith, and which they struggle to read it from beginning to end. Anybody completed Bulugh al-Maram, Ikhwan, just qira'atan. 1,500 hadith. 700,000 hadith, just listening to him from his memory, listening to him and in sittings of revision. 700,000. So he said, so we examined, and in another narration, he mentioned that we know that he memorized 1,000 hadith. A million hadith through the sittings of Mudhakara that we had with him. And so it was not just guesswork, Ikhwan, that perhaps or maybe or so on. Rather, they sat as students together, as contemporaries, they benefited from Imam Ahmad and they heard from his hifz 700,000 and in some narrations 1,000,000 hadith, which established, Ikhwan, that Imam Ahmad in terms of his hifz and his knowledge of hadith, no doubt, as Imam Shafi'i mentioned, Imamun fil hadith. He mentions, as far as the khisla athaniya, as far as the second characteristic that was mentioned concerning him, وَهِيَ قَوْلُ إِمَامٌ قَوْلُهُ إِمَامٌ فِي الْفِقْهِ فَالصِّدْقُ فِيهِ لَائِحٌ وَالْحَقُّ فِيهِ وَاضِحٌ إِذْ كَانَ أَصْلُ الْفِقْهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةُ رَسُولِهِ وَأَقْوَالِ صَحَابَتِهِ بَعْدَ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَةِ الْقِيَاسُ ثُمَّ قَدْ سُلِّمَ لَهُ الثَّلَاثُ فَالْقِيَاسُ تَابِعٌ وَإِنَّمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ للمتقدمين من أئمة السنة والدين تصنيف في الفقه ولا يرون وضع الكتب ولا الكلام إنما كانوا يحفظون السنن والآثار ويجمعون الأخبار ويفتون بها. He said that indeed, as far as the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i that he was an Imam in fiqh, and here we have, Ikhwan, something from the methodology and the madhab and the manhaj of Ahlul Hadith, of the past in terms of fiqh. He mentioned, as far as the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i that he was an imam in fiqh, then that is no doubt true, and it is clear for anyone who observes. For indeed the origin of fiqh is the book of Allah, the sunnah of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the aqwal and the statements of his sahaba. And after that we have the lights of qiyas. He said, and Imam Ahmad sulima lahu al-thalath. Yani, it is established and accepted that he was upon those first three. And he had a great portion of those first three. Yani, Quran, Sunnah, and the statements of the Sahaba. He said, and as far as the mutaqaddimeen, yani the earlier scholars, from the a'imma of the Sunnah, wad-deen, he said they did not have authorships in fiqh. And that is something that you'll observe, Ikhwan. that the early scholars did not have authorships in fiqh, yani the kutub of fiqh, they came slightly later. Initially, the authorships, the initial authorships, were authorships in that which is related to the Quran, al-nasikh wal-mansukh, يعني التفسير وما إلى ذلك, or الحديث, المسند فلان وسنن فلان والمسلف المصنف الفلانية. And so, as far as then the issue of the early scholars, أو المصنف الفلاني العبارة الصح, as far as the earlier scholars are concerned, in Ikhwan, then they didn't have these authorships in fiqh. Rather, their authorships were books of hadith, because that was the origin. He then goes on to mention, he said, so they did not write books in that regard, neither did they speak much, or يعني, have much kalam concerning it. إِنَّمَا كَانُوا يَحْفَظُونَ السُّنَنَ وَالْآثَارِ وَيَجْمَعُونَ الْأَخْبَارِ وَيُفْتُونَ بِهَا. He said, rather they used to gather the sunan and the narrations and the akhbar, and they would give fatwa based upon them. And that, Ikhwan, was the fiqh of the Salaf. That they were asked questions, and you'll find that in مثلاً the su'alat of Imam Ahmad, that Imam Ahmad, there are a number of books, Ikhwan, that were collected either by the sons of Imam Ahmad or the students of Imam Ahmad, the su'alat or the masail of Imam Ahmad. The masail of Imam Ahmad were issues wherein Imam Ahmad was asked a question and he responded. And he would respond with that which is present in a hadith. What do you say about such and such? It is such and such. What is the meaning of such and such? It means such and such. And he would respond with a hadith. And that, Ikhwan, was the same with Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i. Then those ajwiba and those responses that they had were gathered together, and then the people, yani the students and those who came later, they formulated the madhab of the imam. As far as the imam himself, then they were a imma of hadith. They were scholars of hadith who were asked, they responded, their responses were penned down, recorded, and then they were passed on through the ages, and later they were formulated into books of madhahib, books of the madhab. As far as the imam is concerned, then you know of the statements that they made. If my hadith opposes the statement of the Messenger of Allah, if my statement opposes the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, then throw my statement against the wall. Because their affair was the text of the kitab and the sunnah. And this is why, Ikhwan, the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala is the weakest of the madhahib of Al-Arba'a, because he was the weakest in hadith. What is established is that the A'imma, the contemporary scholars at his time, declared him weak in hadith, Imam Abu Hanifa. And he was declared weak in hadith. That is not my statement, Ikhwan, the statement of the A'imma of hadith at his time, likes of Sufyan and others, they declared him weak in hadith. And thus, Ikhwan, when their madhab is based upon knowledge of hadith, then you'll find the strength and correctness in the madhahib returns back to, number one, and one of the major factors, Ikhwan, their knowledge of the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned earlier the example of Imam Shafi'i when he came to Imam Ahmad and said, "Brother, just debating with the people of Iraq, if I just had one hadith." Imam Ahmad gave him three. And so, Ikhwan, the response then and their debates revolved around Nusus and around the text. And that is important for the Talib ilm to know, and that he acquaints himself with the text of the Kitab and the Sunnah, firstly. Secondly, with the language of the Kitab and the Sunnah. Thirdly, that he understands at least the meaning of the text. Thirdly, that he acquaints himself with how the Salaf of this Ummah understood those texts. And then, later, Ikhwan, he may consider and look into the Aqwal of the Ulama and the Aqwal of the earlier A'imma. Well, he should, no doubt. But the point is, the Alim is the one that is familiar with the kitab and the sunnah and the aqwal of the sahaba, how to understand them in terms of their lugha, and how one extrapolates from them. And that is why, ikhwan, I remember students, the book Bidayatul Mujtahid, we used to refer to it as Nihayatul Mujtahid. Not low that it was wrong of us, astullah, ikhwan. But the reason they would refer to it with Bidayatul Mujtahid, meaning the beginning of the alim that is a mujtahid, is able to make fatwa, we used to call it the Nihayatul Mujtahid. The end of the Nihayatul Mujtahid, why? Because it gathered the aqwal and the statements of the imam, their conclusions. When in actuality, the bidayah of the mujtahid should be him being acquainted with the kitab and the sunnah, with the nusus, and then how to extrapolate from them. And then, yani, he develops and he becomes yani, a mujtahid. And so the students in Sharia, they used to say, we study, yani, we have X amount of sessions of Bidayat al-Mujtahid. So he says, Nihayat al-Mujtahid, ya akhi, we have Nail al-Awtar, alhamdulillah. Now, and so, ikhwan, as far as the statement of the Imam, that he is an alim in fiqh, then there is no doubt that al-Imam Ahmad, in terms of his knowledge of the book and the sunnah and the aqwal of the sahaba, he was from the best of the a'imma in that regard. And the fiqh then of that imam, in terms of the main trustworthy sources of the aqwal and the statements of Imam Ahmad, in terms of the furu' al-fiqhiyya, they return back to a number of scholars and a number of his students. From them, his two sons, Salih and Abdullah. From them, his cousin Hanbal. From them, Ishaq ibn Mansur al-Kawsaj al-Marwazi. From them, Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, the Imam, yani Sahib al-Sunan. From them, Abu Ishaq Ibrahim al-Harbi. From them, Abu Bakr al-Athram. From them, Abu Bakr al-Marwazi. From them, Abdul Malik al-Maymuni. From them, Abu Zura'a and Abu Hatim al-Raziyan. Those, no doubt, were from the main students of Imam Ahmad, and those who took the madhab of Imam Ahmad, or the responses of Imam Ahmad, which is what they were initially, the responses of Imam Ahmad. Likewise, Imam al-Baghawi, the responses of Imam Ahmad, took them from him, and then later collected his statements in their authorships. As far as the third khisra, the third characteristic, then it is his statement, وَهُوَ إِمَامٌ فِي اللُّغَةِ. And that is without doubt, ikhwan, the case as it relates to Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad, he was an imam in the lugha al-arabiyya. Imam. He mentions, that is Ibn Abi Ya'la, قال المروزي كان أبو عبد الله لا يلحن في الكلام. He said Imam Abu Abdullah لا يلحن في الكلام. That is, he did not used to make grammatical errors when he spoke. He did not used to make grammatical errors when he spoke. يعني فصيح كلام الإمام. Imam Ahmad himself, he mentioned, as was narrated by Muhammad ibn Habib, كتبت من العربية أكثر مما كتب أبو عمرو العلاء ابن العلاء. أبو عمرو ابن العلاء, إمام, إخوة, from the أئمة اللغة, from those great scholars who the science or the knowledge of the لغة العربية returned back to. He mentioned, Imam Ahmad himself, he mentioned, كتبت, that I have penned down, من العربية أكثر مما كتب أبو عمرو بن العلاء. I wrote, what I took in terms of the knowledge of the Arabic language is greater and supersedes Abu Amr ibn al-Alla, this great imam in the language, well-known imam in the language. وكان يسأل عن ألفاظ من اللغة تتعلق بالتفسير والأخبار فيجيب عن ذلك بأوضح الجواب, بأوضح الجواب وأفصح الخطاب. That he used to be asked concerning issues related to the language, wordings, and that which is related to tafsir, intricate meanings, and he would respond with awdah al-jawab, with the clearest of answers, and with أفصح الخطاب, and with the most eloquent address. So he was an imam without doubt in the language. As far as the fourth characteristic that Imam Shafi'i mentions, he said, Imam في القرآن. He was an imam in the Qur'an. Concerning him being an imam in the Qur'an, then Abu Hussein ibn al-Munadi, he mentioned, صنف أحمد في القرآن التفسير وهو 120,000 يعني حديث. Then Imam Ahmad, he wrote a book of tafsir. Anybody have tafsir, Imam Ahmad? غير مطبوع يا إخوان, he's not present in the dunya. Imam Ahmad, مفقود, نعم. Imam Ahmad, يعني unfortunately from the last books, إخوان, of Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad, he authored a book of tafsir. He mentioned, وَهُوَ مِئَةْ أَلْفْ وَعِشْرِينَ أَلْفًا. Yani it was 120,000. It had within it 120,000 hadith. His book of tafsir, 120,000 hadith. So you're looking at about 60 volumes, 70 volumes, Allahu A'lam, with 12 font. Nah. He mentioned وَأَلَّفَ يَعْنِي النَّاسِخ وَالْمَنْسُوخ. He likewise had a book in النَّاسِخ وَالْمَنْسُوخ, the abrogated and the abrogating verses. As many of the scholars of the Salaf used to say, that it is not permissible for a man to speak concerning tafsir until he is acquainted with the abrogated and the abrogating verses. And that is similarly important for the faqih, that he gives a fatwa with a verse that is abrogated. And so he wrote, Imam Ahmad, a book concerning the abrogated and the abrogated, wal muqaddam wal muakhar, and those verses that were revealed early, and those verses, which verse preceded which verse in terms of the chronological order of their revelation. Because the order, ikhwan, of the surahs of the Quran is not relative to the order in which those verses came down. The verses of the Quran, ikhwan, were placed in the surahs and the surah that they are in, based upon the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon that which is correct. That it was not the ijtihadat of the ulama, rather it was on the basis of nas, of text, that the orderings of the surah occur. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when an ayah would be revealed, he would tell his scribes, place it after ayat kada wa kada. Place it in surat kada. And so those verses were revealed. Not all of the surah of the Quran were revealed at once. With many of the surah, ikhwan, some of the verses were revealed at one stage, and then years later sometimes, some of the verses that complete the surah were revealed, and that surah then was complete. And so the knowledge of which ayat came down when, and what order, and what have you, Imam Ahmad likewise wrote a book concerning that, which is again an important science, and one that requires an intricate knowledge of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as him being with the Book of Allah, how was he with the Quran? Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, as his son Abdullah narrates concerning him, كَانَ أَبِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ فِي كُلِّ أُسْبُوعٍ خَتْمَتَيْنَ. That he said, my father used to finish the Quran twice a week. You know, some of you go to the gym twice a week. Imam Ahmad used to finish the Quran twice a week. He said, khatma bil layl wa ukhra bin nahar. He would finish it one khatma by night and another bin nahar, which is an average of what? Kam juz? Huh? No, come juz a day. Huh? La. La. It's in 7 days. Huh? Just About four and a quarter juz. About 4 1/4 juz. يعني if one is الإخوان حقيقة it is doable. It is يعني very much doable. That completion of the Quran as Imam Ahmad did twice a week, it is doable, إخوان. Four and a half juz. He recited juz in how long? 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 4 juz come. Sa'awanus, hour and a half of qira'ah. I mean, you wouldn't be, you'd have to be reciting, but fi'lan, you could generally, ikhwan, and if you make it a habit, it is something that you could complete relatively easily in an hour and a half, bi'awnillah. He would recite the Quran. Somewhere in the region of 4 1/2 juz a day in the morning and in the by night and in, and during the day. Yani 4 1/2 by night, 4 1/2 during the day. So Imam Ahmad would complete the Quran once, or he would complete it twice a week. And of course, ikhwan, if you're completing the Quran twice a week, yani you're going to be jiddan familiar with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Jiddan familiar, very, very familiar with that which Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned in the Quran, where it's present, yani those ayat extrapolating and what have you. And so, ikhwan, Imam Ahmad, in terms of how he himself was with the Quran, not only was he an alim with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was likewise from those, ikhwan, who would recite the Quran ana al-layli wal-nahar. Naam. As far as the fifth characteristic, ikhwan, and that is that which relates to his faqr, his poverty, and the sixth, his zuhud, the seventh, his wara', and the eighth, his sunnah. Inshallah, we'll delay our discussion of that, ikhwan, in the session that is to come, bi'idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.